It is one of the most speculated topics in American politics. Who will be Donald Trump's running mate, presuming, as it stands right now, the 45th president of the United States will be, or as it stands now, is the presumptive Republican nominee for the White House this year. Donald Trump has obviously become the first American former president to ever face criminal charges. He is on trial in New York City on a number of felony counts and has a number of pending indictments here in Georgia. One of the rumored candidates to be on Donald Trump's short or long list, depending on who you speak with, is Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're joined by Ethan Charlock. He is a spokesperson for Sports Handle, which is a website covering betting odds and calculations on political issues, sports issues. Ethan Charlock, Sports Handle, came up with a list of possible names and odds for who Donald Trump's running mate could be. Marjorie Taylor Greene is on the list, but she is not even remotely at the top. Talk to us a little bit about the top three or four candidates on this Donald Trump short or long list.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. The leader on our list is New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. There's, you know, obviously a lot that is going to go into Donald Trump's decision on who is going to be his running mate. And nobody really knows what that exact process is going to be besides Donald Trump himself. So there's still a lot of speculation, obviously, but there are some things that we know are consistent with what Donald Trump wants. He wants somebody that looks the part out of quote unquote central casting, as he's called it before. He wants somebody who's going to remain loyal to him. We've always seen that loyalty is a big deal to Donald Trump. And he wants somebody who's not necessarily going to outshine him on the campaign trail. He likes to be the center of attention. And Elise Stefanik hits all of those targets. She also hits a couple of the other things that we've heard that he wants, such as a woman or a minority on his ticket, somebody with a positive winning electoral record. Elise Stefanik has never lost a race that she's been in. She's won every congressional race she's joined. So Trump himself has said that nobody's going to check off every box, but Stefanik seems to check off the most boxes in terms of what Trump seems to be looking for. Right behind her, we have Ben Carson, as somewhat of a surprise number two pick. He's not somebody that a lot of people would have thought of, a year or two ago, but he's a name that's been rumored a lot recently. He's remained very loyal to Donald Trump. He's one of few cabinet members who served through the president's entire term in office. He's also still campaigned heavily for Trump, and he's done very well with connecting with evangelical audiences, which were previously brought in by Mike Pence, and that Trump has still struggled with to a certain degree. And obviously, he brings in a minority voice as well. There have also been some reports that he might not want somebody who would be an immediate front runner in 2028, that he kind of wants there to be a battle. That's a lesser reported thing. So, you know, it depends on how much you want to take that into consideration. But if that is true, Ben Carson is somebody who might not necessarily be the front runner in 2028, even if he was the VP. So that creates an interesting little wrinkle. And tied with Ben Carson kind of in the 2B spot, we have a little known name in Byron Donalds, a congressman out of Florida. He doesn't have much of a national profile, but like we said, Trump doesn't really want to be upstaged. Not a large national profile might not be a deal breaker for him. Byron Donalds has been very loyal to Trump the entire time that he's been in office. There have been some reports that Donalds spoke poorly of Trump years ago, back in 2012, when Trump was discussing running. But ever since Donald Trump actually started running, Donalds has been all in on him. And that's something that's going to be huge to the former president. A problem that they're going to run into is that Donalds is obviously also from Florida, which is where Trump lives. The way the Electoral College and the Constitution is set up, electors can't vote for a president and a vice president from the same state. So something would have to give there. Most likely, Trump would have to move from Mar-a-Lago as his primary residence for a while. That would seem to be the easiest way to solve that issue. But it really remains to be seen if that's something that he's going to be interested in doing. Donald Trump has a very interesting decision-making process, shall we say. So we don't really know if he'd be willing to give up his residence for his preferred running mate. That's something that only time will tell.
And that also sort of rules out another name a little bit lower on the list, that being Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio as well. But talking about governors, Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, has been all in on Trump. She has said that even if he is convicted in his New York City hush money trial brought by Manhattan D.A. Alvin Bragg, that she will still support him. But as I recall, Donald Trump came out recently with a position on the issue of abortion that is a little bit diametrically opposite from a recently stated position from Governor Noem.
Yeah, and that's become a huge point in terms of the VP search recently for Donald Trump, with all of the moves on abortion across the United States. He's taken up a states' rights position on the issue that he thinks every state should be able to decide for themselves. And reportedly, because of that, he doesn't want a running mate who's a hardliner on that issue. And Kristi Noem is, by all accounts, a hardliner on that issue. She has come out and said that she is very pro-life. She's tried to walk that back a little bit in the last few weeks as Trump's position has changed. But even still, she hasn't spoken against any of the, for lack of a better term, more extreme opinions that she shared in the past. She's really just started to deflect the question, which maybe that's enough. But it's been heavily reported that Trump does not want a hardliner on this issue, given his new states' rights stance. And if that holds up, Kristi Noem might have a very hard time overcoming that.
Let's talk for a moment about one of the individuals who was seeking the GOP White House nomination among some of the other names, talking about South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. What are some of the odds regarding some of the other candidates who were very early on in the process seeking the same nomination that Donald Trump has already sewn up? Talk to us a little bit about some of those other names.
Yeah, you know, for the former candidates that were running against him, it's a bit of a fine line that they had to walk. You know, if, especially a lot of them didn't think that they were going to fully win the nomination, so they didn't really want to come out against Trump, and that's going to help some of them in the end. Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor, as you mentioned, was very specific to not speak out against Trump in his campaign. He dropped out of the race and endorsed Trump on the eve of the Iowa caucuses. Like, he did everything he could to make sure that he stayed on Trump's bright side. And that could really help him. But he's going to run into some other issues just in terms of, you know, the look that Trump is going for in terms of his VP. Somebody like Tim Scott, like you mentioned, the South Carolina senator, he's been a very hot name for most people in terms of who could be the VP. Personally, when I look at the situation, I see a lot of flaws with him as Trump's running mate. Most specifically, that he has been very vocal about supporting Mike Pence and his decisions to certify the 2020 election back on January 6, 2021. Even as recently as earlier this year, when Tim Scott was still running, he said that he thought Pence did the right thing. That's a big break from loyalty. Trump's claims about the 2020 election is one of the number one things that he wants people on board with him on. And the fact that Tim Scott very recently was not on his side there could stand in his way. Tim Scott has also been very vocally pro-life and has said that he would be in favor of signing the strictest bans that the country has seen, essentially. That could create a huge issue for him with, you know, with somebody like Kristi Noem or somebody like that that's been a governor. You could make the argument that that still fits within the state's rights issue. But for a senator like Tim Scott, that's just federal that he's talking about at that point. So that could, there are some issues that are going to stand in his way there. But most of the candidates that ran against Trump did a pretty good job of not attacking Trump enough to get on his bad side. We see that as well with somebody like Vivek Ramaswamy, who reportedly is out of the running. He's been reportedly told by Donald Trump that he's not going to be the VP, but he seems very likely to end up in the administration in a cabinet role or something like that. So some of them were able to play this well and build their national profile without angering Donald Trump. And that could come in handy for them. I think most of them have issues that stand in the way of becoming the VP, though.
Talking about one of the other candidates on the list, someone who has seemingly, from some of her public statements, has advocated that she is under consideration as a possible running mate for Donald Trump, and that is obviously Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, very loyal, very unabashed Trump supporter, kind of has run afoul of her own party's establishment recently in her efforts to remove GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson from office. Really kind of seemingly over the past couple of weeks, kind of wearing out her sense of welcome, even among the more hardline far right conservatives in Congress. You know, what are the chances, obviously, from a pure numerical standpoint, in terms of odds, what are you finding out as far as Marjorie Taylor Greene's chances of becoming Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate?
We think she faces the longest odds of just about anybody. We currently have her as one of our lowest ranked candidates at only a 1% chance of being the VP nominee. As you mentioned, she's kind of run afoul of her own party and a lot of people. And obviously, she has been extremely loyal to Trump. And she has said many times that she is on the VP running list. But she seems to be the only one saying that. So there aren't a lot of other reports to suggest that she is actually on the short list. And you know, Donald Trump has fully taken over the Republican Party in many ways, and he can kind of do as he wants with his VP pick. But Donald Trump has also become much more politically savvy than he was years ago. And he fully understands that this is going to be a close election, and he needs a running mate who can help him. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is unlikely to bring Trump any sort of voters that he doesn't already have. He's not going to gain much by bringing her in because everybody that supports her is supporting him to begin with, for the most part. So it's far more likely that he brings in somebody who is a little bit more mainstream, still a MAGA Republican, if you want to call them that, still somebody that is loyal to Trump. But maybe somebody who stuck to the mainstream a little bit more and has done a better job of not annoying people.
Let's talk finally as we're wrapping up this edition of Political Update here on Atlanta News First on our YouTube channel and on all of our podcasting platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple. Wrapping up our conversation with Ethan Charlotte, who is a spokesperson for Sports Handle. There is a category in the information that you publicized, a 13% category in this pie chart called The Field. And that's possibly a name that we haven't heard. I didn't see Nikki Haley on any of the percentage or long odds. What are the chances that there's a name out there that he will pick that just hasn't been thrown about yet?
Yeah, obviously, Trump probably isn't going to name his running mate until closer to the convention. So there's still probably some time before the actual name comes out. And obviously, all of these odds are editorial. We can't bet on elections in the US to begin with. So it's still possible that pretty much anybody comes up the. And so somebody like Nikki Haley is a possibility. I see her facing very long odds as well. Mostly because she stayed in the race against Trump longer than anybody else. And it's hard to see him for giving that quote unquote slight against him in that sense. But people have reported that this shortlist is not truly a shortlist. It is getting longer by the day and not shorter. So it's entirely possible that names are going to continue to be added throughout the process. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who famously was formerly a football coach, had like kind of likened the names on the list right now to names that are thrown out for a vacant college coaching position that, you know, people are putting their name out there to kind of raise their stakes, but it's all propaganda. And he suggested that any name that we're hearing now can essentially be ruled out. Who knows if Tommy Tuberville is right about that? Who knows how close he is to this decision-making process? But there are still plenty of other potential candidates out there. People have thrown out names like Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. All of these people are candidates that have things in their favor that could definitely help Donald Trump. So it's entirely possible. Like you said, we have a 13% probability in our editorial odds, which is the same as Elise Stefanik, our favorite. We think it is equally as likely that somebody that we haven't heard about yet becomes the nominee. There's still a lot of time for Donald Trump and his advisors to talk him into or out of candidates. So really only time will tell who the final names on those lists are going to be.
And who that final name is won't be reported on by all of us here at Atlanta News First as we continue bringing you the most comprehensive coverage of Atlanta, Georgia, and the most dynamic political state in the nation. I'm Tim Darnell. Thanks to Ethan Charlotte, spokesperson for Sports Handle, for joining us on this edition of Political Update. You can catch Political Update every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on YouTube and all of your streaming platforms such as Apple TV, Roku, and others. Thanks again for watching and listening to Atlanta News First Political Update.